Hi, you're listening to In Between Visits, and my name is Dr. Christy Lewis. I'm a naturopathic doctor who is in practice for well over a decade. After years of clinical practice and working with thousands of people, a basic truth has been revealed. Behavior modification, as simple as it is difficult to implement, hence the birth of this podcast. If we all know what to do, then why aren't we doing it? With these short and sweet shares, I'm going to answer your questions about how to stay on track with your goals, support, inspire, and motivate you on your journey, see you in your struggles, affirm you in the challenge, and reassure you that you are not alone. Let's get started. Hey guys, it's Dr. Christy, and you are listening to In Between Visits. I'm back. So guys, it was so great to get a little break, but I really miss this, truly. Like, I love these podcasts. And you know, have you ever had those times in your life where you take a pause, and in that pause, you realize the things that are really important to you, the things that really bring you joy? This is one of them for me. I am so privileged to connect with amazing practitioners, to share all this information to you. And I'm so grateful that you guys have been reaching out, asking questions. When are you coming back? Are you going to keep doing the podcast? So yes, we are back. Did you guys catch that? I have news, very exciting news. I've collaborated with an incredible, inspiring, intelligent, super, like highly relatable naturopathic doctor. So Dr. Rochelle Vinberg is joined the team. She is available for one-on-one care. She's going to be co-leading the groups. She's going to be involved with the podcast. So I am so happy and excited for you guys because she is amazing. Rochelle has been in the profession for over 15 years. She is an elite athlete. For over two decades, she has been committed to sport to the point where she has a silver, a silver Olympic medal. Talk about commitment. Within that, and on her journey towards optimal health, she herself has had to relearn so much about how to take care of her body. And her jam is all about work-life balance. She's a mom. She has such a strong passion for teaching. She actually works as well at the College of Naturopathic Medicine as a clinic supervisor. So she's a real mentor, a real gem. And I am so lucky that she has decided to collaborate with the practice. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to let you guys meet her, learn about her. We are going to start doing the podcast together. So this is a five-part series. And I really want you guys to get some perspective on how she thinks about lifestyle medicine, sleep, stress, nutrition, movement, mindset, right? I want you guys to get to know her. And so today we're going to be diving deep into the conversation about sleep. So let's get started, you guys. I'm so excited for you to meet Dr. Rochelle.
Nice to be here.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I am so over the moon. I mean, I feel like you know this because of the energy of our conversations, but I'm going to publicly declare how excited I am that you are collaborating with us and you're going to, you know, continue to support the amazing people that I'm so blessed to work with. So thank you so much for being here today and for joining the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't tell you how excited I am myself. And I have to say, we practice very similarly. So it's a nice synergistic, is that a word? Energy, yes, between us. That. So,
yes. And I feel like even within our first few conversations, like literally time stopped. And I felt like, you know, we have so much in common with our values and, you know, why we're naturopathic doctors, what we hope to, how we want to care for the patients that come our way. So much beyond, you know, the business and the practice side of things, but just that like meeting of a soul on, you know, the big stuff within why I do this medicine. So
for sure. Yeah. I feel like our conversations could go hours and hours long, but both of us don't have the time, but I would very much enjoy that at sometime in the future.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's like, I think it was one of our conversations, and I was like, wait a second, we could be recording this. Like, there is, I have a podcast. This is going to work. So, yeah. So I'm so, you know, today what we were going to do, I know, you know, we really wanted to continue to talk lifestyle, right? I mean, ultimately, when we are talking about what it is, how we want to support patients, it really is accessing potentially a different way for people to try to achieve optimal health. So many of us approach things with this linear idea of diet and exercise. And of course, that's a huge aspect within a health and wellness model, but it's not the only places to go. And so, in our conversations, that recognition after both being in practice for many years, this that idea of how do we, you know, support patients in a different way. So, yeah, what I wanted thought where we thought we could start today was with sleep. Hey, like how important is sleep? So, yeah, today we'll dive deep into sleep and why that's so important within, you know, people achieving optimal health.
Sleep is one of the fundamentals of health and wellness for sure. And if you're not sleeping, I mean, I could go into all the things it affects in a moment. But yeah, I'm so glad we're having this conversation
Yeah.
for sure.
And you know, before we dive deep into that, I really wanted to get a sense of, do you see in being in years of practice, I mean, do you see sleep as an issue? Do you see that come up a lot with patient care?
I have to say, probably about 75% of the people I see can
Wow.
work on sleep.
Yeah.
So,
And I feel like it's such a missing piece in the conventional model. I mean, you and I both very, you know, very much rooted in the pathophysiology and functionality of medicine, recognizing the time and place for conventional care, you know, taking that integrative approach. I think naturopathic doctors really shine in this area, and it's a huge miss within model. So such a need, and yet, you know, so many people feel lost when they come up against sleep issues, or sometimes it's not even discussed with their conventional doctors. So, yeah.
I have to say the abuse of sleep prescriptions is through the roof, frankly, and it doesn't improve your quality of sleep. So I'd like to have a conversation about natural things we can try before going that route. Of course, like medications are needed in certain situations, but that's one thing I'd like to avoid until there's a breaking point, but there's so many foundational things we can do beforehand.
Right. And it, I think that was pretty mind-blowing. I know learning about that and seeing that in practice is recognizing that like you're really actually not even getting that restorative sleep when that happens. So taking a medication and crashing or passing out is certainly not restoration. And it is the restoration. Your sleep is such an active thing. You know, we often think about it, you know, you go to bed and it's passive and you just fall asleep, but there's so much that's going on, you know, in a deeper level. What kinds of things, you know, do you see with, you know, obstacles in getting high quality sleep? Like what's, you know, the pulse from what you're seeing out there?
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, first I actually want to just go over some of the things that it actually affects. So immune
Yeah.
system. I mean, everybody's concerned about their immune system, and I know that having adequate sleep can affect your white blood cells, your cytokines, and your immune response to infections. So that's one. Mood. There's so many mood disorders out there now. Very prominent after this pandemic or during this pandemic. Memory issues. Just ask like any new mom that or parent that has not slept and how their memory is. And another thing is weight management. And
Right.
I think you mentioned earlier, people worry about exercise and like caloric intake and
Yeah.
macronutrients, but I mean it affects your hunger hormones, your cortisol, your insulin resistance. It has a huge profound effect on so many hormones, including cravings. So I don't know, Dr. Christie, if you've ever had a poor sleep and just the cravings for the white carbs and the candy, and there's a reason for that, right? So
Yeah. And
yeah.
it becomes such that area of opportunity where it is a new place to look. And so many people shaming, you know, this was a huge, I can't wait till we get to the nutrition and the nourishment aspect of this series that we're doing together. It's, I know this is such a pain point for both of us, and you know, the pressure and all of the unrealistic expectations that people feel around their food choices. And yet, you know, maybe you're not sleeping well, and that could absolutely improve health. You know, when you have to shift a thing in your diet. So it's, yeah, it's funny. I have a little side. I actually don't, I didn't, we didn't watch it, but I on Netflix right now, there's literally you know, it's one of those reality shows where they sleep deprive someone, and then they watch them, and they watch the mistakes they make. And so it's a, you know, certainly a bizarro idea for a reality show, but it's like it just proves that point around sleep deprivation and what can truly happen. And yet, you know, the focus on that is so often missed, and it becomes, you know, sort of always that symptom management, putting out fires when there's actually so much underneath that we can be looking at.
Yeah, that show sounds awful.
I know. Any new mom is like, no, thank you. I know.
Yeah.
And so with regards to the obstacles, you know, like, I mean, we talked about the pandemic, you know,
Yeah.
talking about what's been going on with people's mental, emotional, so much behavior modification challenges, as you know, all of our choices are in flux, everything is sort of uncertain, especially those early days. So, you know, I certainly have my ideas of what about what's seen get in the way of high quality sleep.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen this in your practice, Dr. Christie, but alcohol, it just kind of
Right.
sneaks up on you, right? Like I'm
Yes.
seeing more and more people becoming dependent on alcohol and they never had it, and it's a coping mechanism. And yes, alcohol helps initiate sleep. There's no doubt about it. But it also causes you to have a very light sleep and wake up often and not a fully recovered sleep. So alcohol is one of the big things I'm seeing in my practice. But another thing that's not really talked about as much is mouth breathing. Have you ever considered that as affecting a high quality sleep?
No,
Yeah,
can
I
you
know.
tell
So
me?
it's this is so interesting. I took a 13-hour master class on sleep, and there's a huge component to mouth breathing, and people have no idea they do it. They wake up with a dry kind of, I guess, sour taste in their mouth. That's one way you can tell. Some people have allergies, and what happens is that you're not oxygenating your muscles when you breathe through your mouth. Your tongue actually slides back a little bit, and it obscures the airway. Not you don't have to have sleep apnea to obscure that airway. And yeah, it can affect oxygen, and it can relate to cardiovascular disease, inflammation, poor sleep quality. It's one of the fundamental things I work on with patients. And sleeping with a humidifier in the winter can actually, I remember before becoming a parent, I would wake up in the winter with no ble nosebleeds all the time and a stuffy nose, and I knew I was mouth breathing. And when I did become a parent, I got a humidity reader because, of course, I was worried about my newborn and just the air, right? So, and I found out I have radiant heat, and I found out my percentage humidity was 25%, and it should be 50. And once I got a humidifier, all nosebleeds stopped completely, and I started to breathe through my nose. And I can't say my sleep quality increased because I had a newborn at the time, but now I can safely say that it's made a huge, huge impact. So I could go on to, about mouth breathing and nosebleed breathing probably for a long time, but I know we have a lot to cover. But
No,
it's not thought about.
I was just gonna say, I mean, I sleep with a snorer, so who struggles with post nasal drip. And
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, that definitely, of course, you're not moving into that deep sleep, and you're also, that makes so much sense. How can you oxygenate the muscles if that's not, you're not getting you know, the oxygen to do it? So that's really fascinating. And the behavior modification stuff around that as well, you know. So I love quick fixes, like getting a humidifier, right? Like, you
Yeah,
know,
I know.
getting the blackout curtains, getting the noise, you know, noise canceling or white noise. I love those quick fixes. And I do think those are incredible, important sleep hygiene things that, you know, can definitely support you. But it does absolutely lean back into that behavior, those choices, the alcohol you mentioned. The one that I would say I saw a lot of, it certainly saw myself sometimes in these patterns, is the late time eating, right? So
yeah.
I myself am, I'm not, you know, I don't, you know, a too long a fast. And I know we'll cover this at some point. I'm not a big fan of a too long a fast, especially for women, but I like the idea of at least 12 to 14 hours and giving yourself, you know, 3 to 4 hours minimum of not eating automatically will set you up for better sleep. Kind of common sense. Your body's able to do that active sleep repair as opposed to busy processing food. So have you seen that?
It's funny you say that. You have said verbatim what I tell my patients. So,
and the
same thing, I know, right? The same thing between women and men. I say the exact same thing. I know the buzzword. Well, we'll get into the food portion of podcast down the road. So I don't want to get too far into intermittent fasting, but absolutely many women don't respond well to it. So I will leave it at that. And that will be another conversation. Yes, teaser. Another thing, well, this would be more applied to perimenopausal and menopausal women, but hot flashes. Fixing the hot flashes can have a profound effect on sleep quality. So I do have my prescribing license, and I usually start out with botanicals first to see if they make a difference. So I have a therapeutic order, but if it's indicated, I've found that transdermal progesterone has gotten, like, I don't want to make any promises, but it has gotten rid of hot flashes within like 2 days. It's it's been a game changer for many of my patients. So that's one too, with sleep quality. And I guess there's more lifestyle, like in terms of exercise, late night exercise, it can increase cortisol and can absolutely affect sleep initiation. So I usually tell people to get their exercise in the morning and afternoons and try to avoid later at night. It's impossible for some people's lifestyles and some athletes, the way it's set up, but that's another one. Yeah,
and I think, you know, the general theme in this conversation is really, yes, there is the symptom. The symptom is sleep disruption. So sleep disruptions, the insomnia, can be difficult falling asleep, can be difficult staying asleep, can be difficult, you know, early morning waking. So it can look and feel very different. And that's why, I don't know about you, but I love what I do, because it is such individualized medicine. Yeah. The theme in this conversation is really that recognition that there is other things going on. So what you do through the day, you know, how the choices you make, you know, the choices you make for lunch can potentially influence your sleep. Not that we have to be always hypervigilant. I mean, the relatability point for me is key. Anyone who's worked with me, anyone who knows me, anyone who's listened to this brand or this podcast recognizes that, you know, I'm all about being realistic and kind, and, you know, pleasure is really important. And, you know, we don't want to be rigid in anything we're doing. It's just more of a reshift, that recognition that maybe your sleep quality can be supported in other ways. It doesn't always look like having to meditate for 15 minutes and, you know, in a best case scenario, and in a worst case scenario, you know, having to take heavy medications in order to fall asleep and stay asleep. So there's these underlying causes that can be such a current contributing factor.
For sure. And it's funny you say that about adapting and being a realist, because everybody's going to watch TV at night. It's what we do. It's our time to wind down. I'm not going to tell people not to watch TV at night, but I will tell them to, lower the light levels, kind of mimic what are, like, physiologically we're meant to have low light at nighttime. So that is one thing. Or, I mean, if you really want to get fancy.
Goodness. Like, this is the deal with my husband and I like, turn on the lights, I watch my shows, you know, and then I come up and he's like, flip the bathroom light. I'm like, my melatonin.
Yeah, for sure.
Keep the like stem to brush your teeth, or even
Yeah.
brush your teeth, wash your face, do all of that stuff before, so that you're not being stimulated in any way. We are rhythms. The
Exactly.
body loves boring. We're a bunch of body systems that work in rhythms, and we respond to external cues. So again, it's not about being rigid, but it's setting yourself up for success.
Yeah. I believe melatonin starts to raise 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. So that's really when you should start to pay attention to your light levels, right? So, yeah.
That those adaptations are so key. So I think in the spirit of where, what you can do, what do you take home with this? How do you move through this? I think, that messaging of maybe looking at some of those patterns of behavior that you can shift or alter or support, so that you can then actually set yourself up for success. And I think the three that I would give. So let's do a little bit of ping pong here. And I would say probably that number one thing would be to really be mindful of giving your body that 3 to 4 hour window without food. Now your turn. What
Yeah.
would you say?
Yep. I would say if, alcohol, I would try to manage alcohol intake. It honestly, it's a deal breaker. It can affect and hot flashes. It can aggravate hot flashes as well. So,
Definitely.
yeah, I would try to not take it out. But reduce it would be, yeah.
I think that's great. Now, I guess the question, I mean, we start to get personal so much around this, is helping creating that relatability. One of the big things for Dr. Rochelle and I is really we're human, and we want others to know that we're human, right? We really, and you've heard this from me before, we want to support, listening on how to, how to, and what to. It can be really exhausting in today's information overload. We really want to create that ability for you to relate and to find things that are going to be supportive and make sense for you. What have you struggled with sleep? I mean,
Oh,
I know you have. Yeah.
of course. Major life events, so like the death of a parent or the breakup of a long-term partner. But also if my cup is full, I will react to smaller things like an altercation or a disagreement or little things that I'll dwell on if I'm under a lot of stress. So I think the major events, I think it's pretty normal not to sleep. It's your way of your body processing. There's a few techniques that you can try getting over it, but it's so profound, that shift in your life. It's almost like you just have to ride it. And once it becomes over a week of hardly any sleep, it's becoming pathological. So probably some more aggressive interventions, possibly melatonin or some of the herbs to help get you through it. But if your cup is full and just little things are setting you off, there is a few tools you can use, and this really works for me. So, and it's so boring. That's probably why it works so well. So you visualize the number 100, and then you visualize in your head like the shape of the numbers. Then you visualize a flash 1, 2, 3, and then you visualize the number 99. And then visualize the number 1, 2, 3, and you go all the way down. And I'm usually asleep by like 78. It is so boring. And if your mind, if it drifts, you just bring back to those numbers. You just have to catch the drift, and then you just focus in, and it works. It really does. I find it quite effective.
And I think that's such a helpful anchor and tool, because you can, it, and exactly that. I mean, it is those times of stress. It is those times of uncertainties. And maybe you are choosing, to avoid food at night, and the reduction or avoidance of alcohol, and dimming the lights, and you're doing all of the things, right? So I know all you, but I've seen many patients through the years where we sort of go through the checklist, and like doing it. Doing it, doing it. And
Yeah.
definitely what we look at is those interventions. So we talk prevention, and then we talk being in the moment and trying to support someone within the actual symptoms that they're having. So prevention is the choosing when you exercise, choosing when you eat, choosing even the type of TV shows you watch at night. But then you find yourself in these situations, and the big thing that I have found in different times, exactly the same, interpersonal stresses, interpersonal uncertainties always get me. I am perimenopausal, so definitely seeing those hormonal shifts, the window, before my period being very much a time, or before my flow part of my cycle is always really tricky for me. So it is about kind of one of the things that's really helped me is acceptance. So realizing, it's the resistance, little metaphor for life, but it's the resistance that often creates an increase of cortisol. You and I use that language, but really gets us in our own way. And so that technique of the actually having a focal point of the numbers is really helpful. I know I find that box breath can also be helpful. That's that you inhale for four, you hold for four, and exhale for four, and hold for four. And you just keep kind of going back through that. And I think the similarity in those two is that you're really creating a focal point, a distraction outside of the almost anticipatory anxiety that's happening about not sleeping.
Yeah. And Dr. Christie, another thing I find helpful is writing whatever you're repeating in your head, just write it out, get it out. Once you write it out and it's on paper, magically it seems you seem to stop repeating it. And it really works too. Especially if there's a lot on your plate, write that list out, whatever things to do for
100%.
Work. But, yeah.
Cause those are the things that are, when we look at variables, right? I mean, it's the whole serenity prayer. It's like there are times in our lives when we can be really influential in our choices and the impact those choices are having. And then there's other times where, we really can't influence as readily our physiological response to the choices we're making. And so having these tools, this awareness, almost the ultimate acceptance of allowing to be what is, I think is such an important part when it comes to the sleep, because sleep does require a letting go. It just does. I mean, you think about the nervous system and that body in sympathetic fight, flight, freeze. And the absolute requirement is to move from sympathetic nervous system into parasympathetic, which is rest and digest. And that's not just a light switch, right? We don't just turn the light off and all of a sudden our nervous system move into that relaxation response. Sometimes we have to gently, guidely support it into that, especially when we're spending most of our days, as most of us are, in sympathetic mode.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree. I was also thinking another tool that people could use is something called progressive relaxation. And it's where you tighten your toes really tight, hold, let go. Then you do your calves, then your thighs, and you do a whole body scan all the way up to your eyelids and your face. You scrunch up really tight and let go. And then you do your whole body clench and let go. And it gives this really heavy, sedating feeling. So you just relax. And I had imagined with the box breath, that would be quite effective. As a past athlete, it also puts people in a great state for visualization, whether it's a job interview or you're giving a presentation the next day. It doesn't have to be athlete related. Just a few effective tools that can help.
Yeah. So I think in that reality of supporting yourself through this and realizing, you're having a hard time, you're not giving yourself a hard time. So many of us, when things aren't working within our health, the first thing we want to try to do is almost shame ourselves or make ourselves wrong or will ourselves in some way towards the desired outcome. And I think in this scenario, it really is, yes, potentially do a light inventory on the choices you're making through the day. some of the top lines of those, keeping blood sugars balanced, managing, when you exercise, being mindful of that, thinking about the alcohol consumption, the influences that are going to keep the body. In essence, what it is trying to, keep a check of how much we're in that sympathetic reactivity, because cortisol, which is when we are fight, flight, freeze, has an absolute inverse relationship to melatonin. And melatonin is the thing that tells our body to fall asleep. So, as opposed to keeping these sort of at war, we want to learn how to be in rhythm with them within our bodies. So, the external choices, and then we have these techniques just in case, or during those times when things get difficult. And, you might be tossing and turning, and I was like, oh, right, I have this box breath, or I have this. That's happened to me. It's 2 in the morning, and I'm like, for 45 minutes, I've been tossing and turning. And then I realize, right, I have access to this tool that is going to support me through that.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Yes. And so, with that in mind, I definitely would like one of the things. I mean, I shared at the beginning of this 5-part series that Dr. Rochelle and I are doing together at this point is, this idea of how excited I am that I have collaborated. You guys all know I took a nice little couple month break from the podcast, and I'm so excited to be back at it, especially now with Dr. Rochelle, and this idea of collaboration. And so, Rochelle and I have talked a lot over the last few months about one of our major intentions within, the work we're doing, and that is to build community. I don't know about you, Rochelle, but do you ever feel like patients are really alone? Do they talk about that idea of feeling isolated with some of their concerns?
Yeah, and what's so we see so many patients with the same conditions. And if
Right.
they could only talk to each other,
Right.
I mean, so a community among patients would be amazing if I could just get them to
Amazing.
talk together.
Yes, and so therapeutic. There are times at the end of the day, I've seen 6, 8 patients, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, if only these people could connect and realize that they're not alone with, those challenges of the end of the day, feeling like the only way they can really cope with the evening is by having a couple glasses of wine, or those patients who are really struggling with, trying to find the right movements for themselves, or all of the different perimenopause and all the symptoms that come with that, all the challenges that we have, there is sort of a universal where, you're alone, there's individualized, but there's so much of this that's happening together. So, with this podcast and this relaunch of In Between Visits with myself and now Dr. Rochelle, we really are hoping to collaborate and create community. So, with that in mind, we would love to hear from you. Now, we would love to hear from you. What's one thing, what's one thing you could do to improve your sleep? We went through a few things. What would be one thing you could do to improve your sleep? If you're currently right smack in the middle of insomnia, what is that you could do to improve the falling back to sleep or getting to sleep? What is something you could do to prevent? And so I'm going to throw that on you, Rochelle. What are you what kinds of things can you do? I don't know where you are in your own sleep cycles right now, but I what's one thing you could do?
So we already talked about a few techniques, but I
Yep.
would say it's funny, everybody talks about the wind down at night, but what you do earlier in the day also has an impact. So first thing in the morning, sunlight. That sets your circadian rhythm too. So getting outside, and in the winter, if it's dark outside, maybe consider a happy light. They have they simulate sun to a degree. So I think that would be another tool. Like we're really
Yeah.
trying to replicate a proper circadian rhythm. And I know we're going to get a night shift question, and I do
Yes.
have answers for that. But
Yeah.
that may be another time. But
Yeah.
yeah, in the normal night day cycle, you basically want dimming the light at nighttime
Yeah.
and daylight in the morning. First thing, get out there, even 15, 20 minutes, try to make the time.
Amazing. Okay, so that's yours. That's your reco. That's your piece for yourself. I think for me, I would really look at Being more mindful of the nutrition components. So one of the things I would say over the last couple months is kind of maybe some nighttime eating slipping back in. Again, very different from pleasure. It's a my daughter's soccer game, and we go for maybe an ice cream and enjoy that together. Very different than snacking out of boredom or fatigue. How many patients do you see that they literally eat to stay awake, go to bed if you're tired? So I think for me, I would really want to encourage myself in this process of building community and realizing we're all in this together, is that I am going to be trying to get back into that routine of that, 12 to 14 hour fast. No greater than 14 hour fast, folks, but I definitely would be trying to at limit or at get at least 12 hours of fasting. So I think, that's going to be my thing from now until the next time we connect. And Rochelle, you're going to get, make sure you get those anchors happening. Hey, the light in the
Absolutely.
morning and the stimulation. So don't let your husband turn on the bright light while you're trying to brush your
Okay.
teeth.
Would he dare? I don't know.
Okay, well, this has been an absolute pleasure. One of many,
Yeah.
many,
Thank
many.
you,
So
Dr.
yes,
Christie.
all pleasure. And so what's happening for next time we connect? The next one up is going to be all around stress management. It all intersects at different times, but that idea of the impact that stress is having on our health, how we can support ourselves through that, really at the end of the day, how we can be kinder, more loving, more compassionate to ourselves, that we are really trying to support ourselves through this very difficult time. So
Yeah,
can't
we
wait
may
for that
not
conversation with
totally.
you.
We may not be able to control the stress in our lives, but we can control how we react to it, and we do have power.
Absolutely.
So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Can't wait for that
Okay.
conversation.
Thanks,
Okay.
Dr. Christie. Until
Bye.
next
Bye,
time.
Trisha.
Bye
Until
now.
next time. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode of In Between Visits. I'm just so excited that you're tuning in and, really connecting with these incredible experts that I have on the show these days. Everyone who has sharing their wisdom around lifestyle medicine and supporting you on your health journey. Guess what? I have a new partner. Cardish Health Food Center is sponsoring In Between Visits. Cardish is a locally owned and operated health food store in Ottawa. They've got 7 locations, and their staff is just super dedicated and committed to helping you find the right products that you're looking for. Whether it's supplements or groceries or beauty products, they've got it. And if you're looking for more information about, what Cardish store is in your neighborhood, you can visit www.cardish.com. Keep listening, because Cardish is going to be offering up some pretty awesome giveaways and information. We're going to be partnering up for some webinars, and really our intent is to, continue to help you on your journey towards ultimate happiness and health. Thanks so much, guys.